I think we have to start with something we weren't really planning to talk about, but it has come up in the last 48 hours. Rodrigo Moreno, Robbie, looks like this kind of came out of nowhere, but it looks like the deal to bring him to Atletico from Valencia, it's done. There are, I think, a few things to talk about here, and we'll try to touch on all of them from both the Atletico and Valencia point of view. But let's start with that Valencia point of view, Robbie. If you could you summarize for the listener what has gone on at Valencia this summer? There's just been a lot of chaos, and a Rodrigo sale days before the season starts is kind of symbolizes what's going on at Mestalla this summer.
Yeah, well, I'm not actually sure really, but there was talk about him leaving earlier in the summer as well, and I suppose it's just one of those things maybe where he outgrew the club, whether the club had figured maybe they were kind of going in a bit of a different direction. They obviously brought in Maxi Gomez, sold Santi Mina, and some of those players who we thought that they were going to build around for the future, kind of things just kind of changed, I guess. In terms of what's happening at a boardroom level, Matteo Alemanni is the sporting director. He is close to Marcelino. Everything's going smoothly. They're in Valencia. They're working together on a day-to-day basis. And Peter Lim on the outside wanted, just purely ego-driven, I'm guessing, wanted to have a little bit more say, wanted to kind of have the final say in transfers, get a little bit more involved. But he's not even in Valencia. So, in fairness to Alemanni and to Marcelino, and then the players too, they were kind of fighting their corner. They knew that together they had done well. They had fought back. Won a Copa del Rey, the first cup, I think it was in 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
For first trophy. And everything was going smoothly. We know how hard a taskmaster Marcelino is, but he's really, after getting a really good tune out of that side, had them humming at the end of the year, and got them into the top four. And yeah, I guess Peter Lim just kind of interfering. So I guess I'm not entirely sure if that has anything got to do with the Rodrigo sale. I guess they saw a 28-year-old, I believe, striker. They have Maxi Gomez as their number nine now. Maybe he didn't fit in, and they said, "Listen, we'll take 55 or 60 million off him, from him here, and we can go again." His. I guess from an Atletico point of view then, I don't know. I suppose it's kind of like one of those situations where you hear managers and things saying, well, we're always looking for the best players, we're always kind of trying to see what happens. I guess Atletico had James in mind, and Eriksen was mentioned, but I guess they were just kind of looking around for who might be available and at a decent price, and Rodrigo popped up. And they figured, yeah, let's go with that, because he does, I guess, add something different to the team. Do you think?
I do, and especially with the news coming down Tuesday morning that Diego Costa is injured again. I think the need for a third striker, the need for further competition and cover, I think was necessary. More necessary than signing James, not necessarily from a marketing standpoint, but from a team-building standpoint. I think someone like Rodrigo may have been necessary. He's a nice player. I like him. He's a good header of the ball, good passer for a forward, links play together well, has been very, very important for Valencia the past 2 years. Last season was strange because Valencia just could not score for half the year. he only scored 8 goals last season, but his expected goals per understat had him at around 15 goals. 15 league goals, so very similar to what he did in 2017-18. Also notched 6 assists. I guess I suppose consternation is that Atletico are going to pay 60 million, though that is half his release clause. Atletico are going to pay 60 million euros for a guy who he's not going to be a guaranteed starter. Though he is a Spain international and has more often than not been pretty good the last 2 years, he doesn't walk into this team and instantly displace Costa or Morata.
Yeah. But he can kind of play as the number nine, or maybe just slightly behind Morata or Costa, which will again open up space for Joao Felix. I guess it's just another option for Simeone, and that's I mean, we're moving into a brand new realm of what Atletico Madrid are trying to be this season. Their transfer business in the last couple of years, or since Simeone has taken over, has been very defined. There has been no real curveballs. But this year, obviously, they had to replace Griezmann with Joao Felix. But like, they're going to change the way that they play. They're no longer the team from the Pueblo. They're accepting their role now as a top team, and they're going to start playing like that. Now, obviously, Simeone will probably... It's probably not going to be as out and out as we think it is. Simeone will revert back to type on occasion slightly. But everything coming out of that camp is that this is going to be a different team. And if they can have... Okay, Costa's injury is a setback, but they have Morata, they have Rodrigo, or about to get him. They have Joao Felix. They've got Vitolo, very different player to what they have. They've got Thomas Lemar, who's due for a huge year. Like, I just think that it's really, really exciting for them this season, heading into the new season.
Yeah, there's... Definitely, we've discussed it on the pod before. You've written pretty extensively about this over the last few months, Robbie, is that this is definitely, after a few years of talking about like gentle progression into a new era, it's now here. There has been so much change this summer and so much money spent. It's now here. Koke gave that El Pais interview that Simeone is working more with a 4-3-3 and working more with having the ball. And Rodrigo, about to be Atletico's ninth summer signing, he is going to be competition that we haven't seen in Atletico's striker core in quite some time. I think he is an upgrade over the previous attempts, such as Nikola Kalinic, Kevin Gamero. Yeah. Atleti had to start Fernando Torres for a good two seasons, even though he was past it. And don't even get me started on Jackson Martinez. So this is good competition. And Rodrigo's a nice player. It's interesting from his standpoint, because you would have thought he would want more game time with the Euros coming up next year.
Well, I guess he figures he can break into the team, and I guess...
Yeah.
And as well, he's used to playing in that kind of a defensive, counter-attacking style.
Yes,
And I know that Atletico aren't going to play that way, but there will be still plenty asked of him defensively, and he has proven that he's willing to do that. He's a very... not a defensive striker, but he can play in that role, so he's going to win over Simeone straight away with his work rate. And I know this is kind of he replaces Correa in terms of money. You're replacing him basically with Correa. It's like,
right,
not like for like as in a profile of a player, but it's like for like money, and it's like for like in terms of the kind of game time we're looking at. And I think that actually helps Atletico, because so often Angel Correa would start or come on, and he would just time and time again he'd disappoint you, like, you know. And I really, really want him to do well, and I think he will he needs a change of scenery, but even that alone helps Atletico, because it's Rodrigo will give you an 8 out of 10, we'll say, almost every day, and an occasional 9 out of 10, whereas Correa would give you every day would be a 7 out of 10, and occasionally give you an 8 out of 10. So even there, you're upgrading for similar money, if you get me. And he's proven in La Liga. I just think they're trying to load up Simeone's attack with players that were available, that were easy to get, wanted to come to the club. And like you said, instead of Gamedo now coming on, you're bringing on Rodrigo, and that's an upgrade automatically. The depth in the team, the depth within the team, which is where Atletico struggled for years, is when players were injured and when they needed to kind of change the pace and things like that, is where they struggled. And automatically, you're improving the entire depth, and that's how you win trophies.
I have a feeling Atletico might score more than 55 goals this season. Just a hunch, they might score more than that.
with these
signings. Obviously, a lot of the talk had been centered on James Rodriguez, but that was, it's just such a difficult transfer considering the relationship between the two Madrid clubs and the fact that they've already done a deal this summer. Atletico pounded Real Madrid in New Jersey a few weeks back. It was just such a difficult deal to do, and James is kind of in limbo, in purgatory, with no real obvious suitors, and with Zidane not really wanting him, but Madrid kind of needing to sell, but also they kind of need midfield depth. It's a difficult place for James to be after he was linked so heavily over Rodrigo.
Yeah, and I think, like, I still don't think it gets done, but I think it does get, the longer it drags on, the more Real Madrid have a bench full of wantaways.
Yeah.
Or at least players that aren't wanted by Zidane. Like, I mean, Real Madrid, and like, you have to kind of be careful, and you can't kind of go in too hard on them. But their summer has been a complete mess.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It feels like Zidane is being not pushed out. I don't mean it like that, but nothing that he's asked for has happened, basically, other than Ferland Mendy, who's a backup left back and is not going to change that team's fortunes based on what we saw last year. He got Hazard, which is fair enough, but he didn't get his midfielder. Bale is still there, James is still there. I have no idea what they're going to do. They're going to have to bring in someone, surely, to appease both the fans, because they're involved in the Neymar deal now. And I was just thinking, like, someone's going to win that, okay? And it looks like it's going to be Barcelona. And what might be actually more important is the team who loses them, because how is that going to look? Real Madrid have lost out to Barcelona yet again after, they've fallen in the league to them so many times, and now they've fallen in a pursuit of Neymar, failed with getting Pogba, failed with most of the other players. I kind of actually think of, were they linked with anyone other than Pogba, like Donny van de Beek, which I see no sense in that whatsoever. So heading into the season, Atletico are looking pretty good to keep that second spot. I think Barcelona will be really hard to beat again, just because they know how to win leagues and they have Lionel Messi, so it's going to be difficult. But I think Atletico are looking pretty good for that second spot again next year.
Especially after all the good feelings generated by an unbeaten preseason, which we'll recap in a minute. You mentioned Angel Correa, and it looked, as you said, the Rodrigo deal is basically funded by Angel Correa's pending transfer to Milan for an incredibly high fee, around 55 million euros. I didn't think Atletico would kind of ever get that fee for a player as kind of polarizing as Correa, but there you go. Correa, just very frustrating player. He'll probably do well at Milan. I think that's closer to his level. Maybe not so much in terms of the ambition, but in terms of the league, in terms of that playing style, he may be a better fit there in that system. Who knows? But yeah, the fee for Rodrigo doesn't necessarily bug me, because it's funded by the Correa transfer.
Yeah, yeah. And they're pretty flush with cash right now anyway, in terms of after selling this site for the Calderon to a developer. They got, I think it was 100 million for that. They got the Lucas Hernandez money, the Rodrigo money, and then the Griezmann money, obviously, which was a one-time payment, and they obviously traded Joao Felix for that. And that looks like a pretty smart deal as well. I'm sure we'll talk about that too in a bit.
Yeah.
But, in terms of, it's not like they're breaking the bank here, and they're just refreshing the squad after a couple of years of kind of stagnation. It was kind of strange, because you get like people, after you criticize, for example, Simeone after the Juventus game, and I was massively critical of it. Even during the game, I said, listen, like, even if Atletico get out of this, this is quite a cowardly setup here.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting beaten, and I think that was an absolute wake up call for them. They went out, they didn't even land a blow, quite literally. They didn't even get a shot on target in that game. And for a team who has spent, we forget that just because they're not Real Madrid or Barcelona level just yet, they spent a lot of money to get there, and they just have stagnated when it came down to the crunch. And I think they're lucky in a sense that they sold Lucas and Rodrigo for such a large fee, for such large fees. and had the chance to reinvest in their team and refresh it. Got a couple of massive wages after payroll, they swapped Hermoso for Godin, for example. Got Juan Fran off their low wage bill. They got Felipe Luis off their wage bill and replaced them with very, very capable young players that add something going forward too. So they took this chance this summer to really refresh that squad, reinvigorate it, and look to the future with or without Simeone in a year or two's time, and be in a much better place too.
Yeah, and without Bayern and Manchester City bringing up wheelbarrows of money for Lucas and Rodri, a lot of this refreshing wouldn't have really been possible. That's something that is kind of overlooked in this, is Atletico didn't just use the Griezmann money to spend freely. This was a lot of careful, like for like. Atletico may still end up with a positive net spend this summer, which, considering they're going to have spent over $300 million, is kind of remarkable. And
yeah, crazy.
It's really something. This has been just such a crazy summer, and we'll see how it all plays out during the season. It's played out pretty well during the preseason, which Atletico wrapped up on Saturday with a 2-1 win over Juventus in Stockholm. João Félix, at it again, he scored the winning goal, a stunner that has, I'm sure everyone has seen it at this point, really capped off a tremendous preseason for him. Where do you think he plays starting this Sunday? Where do you think he's best at? And do you think this deal is already a bargain, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm sure there'll be tougher times ahead for him as La Liga gets underway. But certainly, I went to his presentation and he just seemed so calm. And I guess these players are used to playing in front of like thousands of people, so that maybe doesn't tell a whole lot. But he did seem at peace with the fact that the money is nothing got to do with him, and you hear players saying that, and it's very true. I mean, because he has nothing got to do with that. He just signed him for a club, and the money is between him and the club, between the buying club and the selling club. And it's often said that it'll only his price will only be brought up if he doesn't play well, so he's already kind of eked out a little bit of room for himself in terms of that expectation. Now, I understand completely that it's only pre-season, but that has helped. The fact that he's played, the fact that he's contributed, the fact that he's saying all the right things, the fact that Simeone is just seems enamoured by him. He says the best thing about him is that he wants to learn. That's so important. And it was probably a natural time for Griezmann to leave the club too. He'd probably done his best work in a red and white jersey, to be honest. And it's nice that João Félix, and he is so young as well. If he was 22 or 3 or 4, maybe you're like, okay, it's time now to step up. But he is just 19, so there is loads of expectation on him. But he does have that little bit of leeway now. And hopefully as well, I know it cost us out, but hopefully some of the players around him will step up for those first couple of weeks until he really eases himself into it. Because, they're playing Getafe on Sunday. Really and truly not an easy game to play. I'm just looking at some of their transfers, and they're just getting even more physical. They're such a physical team, and I'm sure Bordalas is going to try and one-up his performance from last season, where he almost got into the Champions League. So a really, really tough game for Atletico to start, and space will be at a premium in the penalty area. But it just seems like João Félix loves that, and the tighter the space, the better he is. And he has shown himself to be just so enjoyable to watch as well. And I think he's got everyone on his side at this point, because he's a fresh face. He's saying all the right things. He's really exciting, and he's kind of like the epitome of what Atletico are trying to do. They're trying to be this new team that are fun, younger, and exciting. And Yeah, I think it feels this way anyway. Just like Kylian Mbappe, everyone seems to be on his side. Everyone wants him to do well. So yeah, like, I mean, obviously that pressure of the 126 million is still there, but he seems to be taking to it like a duck to water at the moment. And let's just see once La Liga starts.
Yeah, if the pressure's there, he's not talking about it. Like you said, he's just really calm and level-headed and mature for a kid who is of his age and who came over for that much money. He just seems to get
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
He just gets it. And we'll see how that translates as we get into September, October, the Champions League fires up again. Who else really impressed in the preseason? I was keenly observing Lodi and Trippier as the fullbacks, and particularly Lodi was an underrated acquisition for me. He played really well in preseason. I like what he brings in terms of just running for 90 minutes and firing in crosses.
Yeah, no, certainly. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, like I say, it is preseason, so it is kind of it is easier to attack without really having to watch at the back too much, like, because teams aren't as fit, I suppose, and aren't as clinical, and aren't as it's not as crucial in pre-season, so it's not, there isn't as many I guess eyes on you as there will be in La Liga. But no, certainly, like, and I suppose it's not even that they're that playing that well, it's more the players that they replace, and automatically Lodi way more energy than Philippe Luis, and Kieran Trippier, his delivery is just excellent compared to, like, what the player that Juan Fran had become at 34 years of age, obviously, as the decline had set in. So yeah, like, I mean, those two players alone have added add width and add energy from the back. Also very impressed with Vitolo. I'm really excited about Thomas Lemar. Like, I have been, and I was disappointed with him last year, obviously, but he's coming into the season now after he knows that he didn't assimilate well to La Liga. He said that wasn't who, that's not the player that I am that you saw, and he really wants to make a difference now. Griezmann's gone, like, not that makes too much of a difference, but he doesn't really have that to fall back on anymore, kind of. He's there on his own. It's time for him to step up, and I think he is ready to do it in terms of, like, because it takes a while to get used to Simeone's ideas, I guess, and for a player like Lemar, who'd be quite lightweight and would need to kind of get used to that more defensively aggressive style. It took him a couple of months to get used to it, and he did actually improve right at the end of last season, and I think he was okay in the preseason, and I'm really excited for him coming into next season.
Yeah. Things are going to be freer in attack, perhaps. Things are going to breathe a little differently. We could see him maybe on the wing in a 4-3-3. I think what happened with Lemar last year was that Simeone kind of shoehorned him a little bit into that Arda Turan role, and that's not really who Lemar is. Didn't really use his range of passing all that effectively. The assist for João Félix's goal against Juventus is a pretty good example of Lemar's preseason. That just gorgeous, majestic long ball that Felix controlled and just stabbed home with the right foot. That's the kind of player Thomas Lemar can be, and we may see that more consistently this season. Want to get your thoughts on this too. The central midfield situation. There's now five of those players competing for three, maybe four spots. Is Thomas Partey possibly the odd man out at this stage?
I guess the fact that Simeone really, really wanted to get everyone back and training in time, and obviously he was at the African Cup of Nations, so he came back a little bit late. I wonder how Simeone sees Thomas Partey. Does he see him as more of a situational, like, for example, he sees Saul, and Saul is a starter, no matter whether we're playing defensive, no matter whether we're playing attacking, it doesn't matter. Whereas Thomas Partey has never really upgraded his status within the team to that, put him on the team sheet. He's more of a kind of, I think it's like a situational player where in certain matchups he works perfectly, but then there's other matchups where Thomas Partey is the first name that drops off. And if Atletico are trying to And Simeone has been quite open about this, saying about Thomas, he said that he doesn't really take praise very well, I think is what he said. And he also said that he needs to stay focused for 90 minutes, and he kind of tends to make kind of some mishaps and tries to get a little bit too fancy with what he does. But I guess that's who Thomas Partey is, and you have to build the team to kind of suit that kind of risk taking that he and those true balls that he tries and is so successful with too. And it's just a matter of whether he can be that consistent player that Simeone needs, because as we know, if one thing Diego Simeone can't live with is that kind of inconsistent mental lapses, not so much risk taking but excessive risk taking, we'll say. And it's just a matter of whether Thomas can be that player, and whether Simeone thinks he can be that player. But if they are going to play a more expansive style and have more possession and be more lethal in attack, then obviously Thomas Partey has to start over Herrera or whoever it is that he's battling with.
Yeah, and last year when Rodri came in, that kind of cut his playing time a bit. He was, you know, shuttling back and forth between the bench and the starting 11. This year, I think it could be very similar for him. And that release clause isn't too expensive. It's 50 million euros. So his situation will be one to monitor. His playing time will be one to monitor. And if he starts to agitate for a move, we'll see. But central midfield is well stacked. I think Hector Herrera was a really, really good pickup, especially on a free transfer. Such a versatile midfielder. I don't think we saw the best of him in preseason, but he'll be very valuable, I think, as the season goes along.
Yeah, absolutely, but Thomas seems quite happy at Atletico at the moment, I think, which I guess, as again, it's pre-season, everyone's happy, hope springs very much so at this time of year for everyone, fans and players and everyone. So, I mean, obviously there's not going to be too much said at the moment, but yeah, you're right. I mean, if it gets to the point where we're deep into the season and he still hasn't kind of won, not even a definite starting place, because there is so much competition in that midfield, but if he isn't winning significant minutes by a couple of months into the season, I'm sure he will be maybe thinking, like Rodri, I need to go somewhere else to develop further here.
Well, that season does start on Friday, we think, if it doesn't change between now and then. It does start Friday at San Mamés between Athletic and defending champions Barcelona. Set to be another really fascinating season in La Liga. I'm excited about the promoted teams, especially Mallorca. That's just a great story to see how they've won back-to-back promotions. How do you see the top six shaking out?
Obviously the top three... And just like what we talked about earlier on the podcast, it really depends on what happens at Valencia and how, because Marcelino is a very principled man, and if it does go pear shaped with Alemany and Peter Lim, which they're still not out of the woods in terms of that whole debacle. What happens if things start turning sour? Like, I mean, we remember under Prandelli and when Valencia were going poorly, I mean, things got really, really, really bad there. Dressing room kind of revolted. It was just a bad atmosphere at the Mestalla. Everything went against them, and they were, I won't say they were lucky to not be relegated on a couple of occasions, but they were down there, like they were really close a couple of times, and they were for long spells. So I'd say, yeah, Sevilla, I would say, might nip the top four if Lopetegui is back, if he gets that little bit of luck, and if he has been back, but if he gets the time needed to kind of implement his style, and depending on how quick they adapt to it, but I really do think that they will, because I think he's a really good coach, and I think that's Sevilla, the kind of team that need to be coached up rather than kind of buying their way to the top. And he has bought like 12 players or something like that.
Yeah.
So, loads. And loads of players that, like, you could assess them each individually, but I mean, it's just more of a case, Monchi ball, where you just b- buy a load of, like, and maybe six of them stick, and the rest of them could fall apart. We might not see them after maybe October, but for now, anyway, it's everyone's in with a shout, and it could go either way, I suppose, for them. But I do think that Lopetegui will get them playing nice football, and they'll be in the top six, definitely. Yeah, I suppose it depends as well then on how Getafe do respond to their really fabulous season last year. They didn't really lose too many pieces. They've added a couple of players, some kind of more physical players. It's going to be much the same again from Bordalas. Might be lucky to sneak into the top six, but after that, I mean, who are we looking at? Ibar, I think Ibar, Athletic Bilbao is another team that Real Sociedad are actually look really, really exciting going forward.
Yeah, that's the team I like to surprise this year. Maybe not finish fourth, but La Real have had a really underrated summer. They built a very nice attack there with Alexander Isak. The light's kind of shining less bright for him. Odegaard, obviously. Porto playing behind the Porto, really underrated player, just played on a bad team last year.
Yeah, and they still have Oyarzabal,
yeah,
who just keeps improving, and his confidence keeps growing, and he's going to be, and I would worry if it was just all those young players together, but Oyarzabal is there, knows the club, he'll turn into the leader in that team, and then he'll have all that talent around him to really turn that into, they're going to be absolutely fascinating. I remember when Alexander Isak he moved to Dortmund, but I remember Real Madrid were linked with him and they really, really wanted him. And those kind of names stick in your head when massive clubs are after, and it didn't go all that well from a Dortmund, and he's at Real Sociedad now, and it was only 2 years ago that happened. So he could be a complete game changer for him. And also Martin Odegaard, and everyone talking about him being a failure and things like that, but anyone who has watched him, and I haven't watched him extensively at all on loan, but anyone, and I've seen statistics, and I've heard people who would know and have watched him saying how good he is. I mean, if he can be that creative self, his creative self, sending passes into Oyarzabal, into Isak, I mean, they could be one of the teams in Europe, one of the best, most fun teams. They could be like the Borussia Dortmund of Spain. I think they're going to be really interesting to watch, but it also could go either way too, because what if they don't gel? A lot of young players there who might not kind of find their feet as quickly as they might like, but they're going to be, I think they're going to be fascinating either way to watch. So I was just looking at some kind of statistics based on a model that I took it and kind of rejigged it, and it's possessions divided by interceptions, and which gives you kind of a pressing idea. And after all of that, Ibar were the third best team in La Liga last year based on this model. Wow. Ibar are so unbelievably underrated, they might not break into the top six, but just as a team to watch, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. They do not get half as much credit as they should. Mendilibar doesn't get nearly not even an ounce of the credit he deserves. They've sold Joan Jordan. They've brought in some young new players that he's going to turn into really good functional players again, and they're just going to be fascinating to watch again this year.
Yeah,
I'm going to be paying.
Losing Jordan and losing Ruben Peña kind of hurt, but at this point, Eibar have staying power. Mendilibar has been there 5 years. They're very stable. They've survived all the odds. There's no reason to bet against them. I mean, they've been here since 2014. They have staying power. They know what it takes. So
yeah,
you just can't really tip them to go down. Betis could be in that conversation as well, especially if they do complete a deal for Borja Iglesias, as has been rumored during the summer. They desperately need a striker. They have needed one for 3 years. So maybe they get one finally. In terms of...
It looks like...
Oh, go ahead.
No, look, and it looks like that deal, they have the money now from Lo Celso, so I'm sure they can maybe cough up an extra, that extra little bit that Espanyol were looking for. The deal between player and club is done. Borja Iglesias wants to go and play with Ruby. And Ruby is another player, another manager who's saying all the right things. Obviously, we know how it went with Kike Setién at the end of last year with just complete apathy from the fans. They were just so frustrated. And they just switched off. They were like, this is going to be the same thing over and over and over again. And Ruby came in and automatically he's saying stuff like, we're going to play more direct, we're going to be more quicker, velocidad, and he's saying things like this. So he's going to go in and they are going to be more fun, or not more fun, but more direct, and more the games are going to be more, maybe a little bit less possession, but way more attacking. In terms of shots on goals and that, because Setién's teams were attacking, obviously, but not more docile, passive attacking. So Ruby is going to come in and he knows he has to get the fans on his side to play attacking football. And I think he's going to go with that. If they get Borja Iglesias, definitely they can do that. They can kind of change their style. And also Nabil Fekir, we're looking at a player who was being linked with the European champions mm-hmm. not so long ago. And he's replacing Lo Celso. Hard, pretty big boots to fill, certainly. But I think I'm really excited to see him because his attitude is supposed to be really good. He's supposed to be the business, and he could be one of the best signings of the summer.
Yeah, you're talking about a value signing. If he can rebuild his value at Betis after some injuries and that failed transfer to Liverpool, man, what a signing that would be. Betis have got to be top six material. In terms of who's going down, that's hard to say. Mallorca, you think, have got to be in there because their season just went on for so long. And it's so tough for a team that comes up through the playoff to stay up. You got to think Mallorca are in there. Valladolid, especially if they don't solve their goal-scoring problems. They did bring in Sandro, which is an interesting one. See if he can rehab his value somewhat.
He's still young. He's still 24, no? He's not an old player. And it is, I guess, maybe I'm saying that as if it's a given. It's not necessarily a given at all. But he is still that same player who played for Malaga and scored 20 goals it was that season and was excellent. It just goes to show, he was linked with Atletico. He was spotted with Atletico Madrid representatives. He was going to move to Atletico, a Champions League side, and all of a sudden that kind of didn't go through. Went to Everton, just confidence absolutely gone, never got it back, loan move after loan move, still hasn't got it back. He got his move to Valladolid good and early, so he knows what's happening. He knows, he's trained with this is his first summer where he's properly got a good chance to integrate with his teammates and his team, and he's going to start off, and I don't know if he's been guaranteed a starting place, but he'll know where he sits in the pecking order, what he has to do. Whereas before, he was coming in at Real Sociedad and a forgotten signing almost. One of those players, Sandro. Oh yeah, I forgot Sandro played for him. Whereas now it's Valladolid is his team and we'll see what happens. Also, they got Lunin from Real Madrid on loan. Yes. Best goalkeeper at the Under-20 World Cup. Really excellent future ahead of him. It didn't work out from a Leganés last year, but they wanted him back, which was a good sign. So he obviously did something right there. Now he could beat out Carlos Cuellar, but a top goalkeeper. And for someone like Valladolid, I think he's going to work out perfectly for them. And he's probably ready now to stake a claim for a starting position for other clubs and a backup position for Real Madrid. If Navas hadn't stayed, he probably would be backup for Real Madrid. But I think this loan is going to work out perfectly for Valladolid, to be honest with you. So I'm not sure. Not too bad. Do you know who I think could be, and just going back to that model that I was talking about, Levante were so incredibly poor last year. I do not know how they survived.
They scored a few goals. Their defense was just so bad, though.
Yeah.
That defense was a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. So I like, if I'm gonna have a look, maybe obviously we'll wait a game or two before we start making our definitive calls. But I just want to see what Levante have done differently, because if they haven't improved in terms of their expected goals against, I just think that I think they're going to be in trouble all year, and they won't get out of trouble like they did last year, I think.
It's all starting Friday. Robbie, Atletico do play on Sunday night against Getafe at home. After that, the dreaded trip to Leganés. Those are their first two games, both in Madrid. And we'll be right here to talk about it. Robbie, great to have you on the show again, man. Thank you so much for joining me. I saw you have debuted at StatsBomb, just yet another feather in your cap.
Yeah, delighted that the guys are willing to listen to take one of my articles and on a team that I'm actually quite excited about. Yeah, so you can check it out there, my Twitter account and whatnot.
Yep, you can find Robbie at StatsBomb. You can find him at Into the Calderon, as he's pretty much everywhere. Robbie, thank you so much for joining me. Great to talk to you.
No problem, Jeremy, anytime.
Follow Robbie on Twitter at RobbieJDunn. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can like ITC on Facebook as well at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform. And check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColchNeroChat. You can become a ColchNeroChat amigo, get access to bonus pods and more. patreon.com/ColchNeroChat. We will be back next week, our first podcast of the season. Until then, adios.